But we're starting a new sermon series. It's called All In. And it's, isn't that good? All In. So it's the story of people that are all in for their faith. And there's so many great people of the Bible. But today, we're going to start with John the Baptist. And whenever we consider John the Baptist this morning, they'll put it up on the screen. We're going to be in Luke in chapter 3. And as you turn there, I want to just kind of give you an overview of John the Baptist. Today's focus is all about him being all in. And I want to tell you that in the book of Malachi, and you don't have to turn there, but I would tell you that it's the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi was the last prophet. He's the last one that we heard from. So he's the last book of the Old Testament. And then there's a page in between. Normally, we don't have any of the scriptures on screen, but you can just trust me. Malachi 3 and Malachi 4 are the last two chapters of the Old Testament. And he's the last prophet that we heard from. And he was telling us that the messenger was coming. And listen, after he got done in chapter 3 and chapter 4, there was 400 years of silence in between that and the New Testament beginning. When you open your book to Matthew chapter 1, there was 400 years of silence. But Malachi tells us, right, the last prophet that we hear from tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, "See, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you delight in. See, he is coming, says the Lord of armies." And then in verse 5, he says, "I will come to you in judgment, and you will be ready to witness against sorcerers and adulterers and against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and widow and the fatherless, and against those who deny justice to the resident alien. Do not fear me, says the Lord of armies." Basically, what he's describing in verse 1 in chapter 3, he's describing John the Baptist. He's saying that there's going to be a messenger who will come and will prepare the way for me. He's talking about Jesus. And he describes him himself as the messenger of the covenant. And when you open your Bible to the very next page and it says the New Testament, it's talking about the new covenant that is Jesus. And so this messenger that he's going to send and is going to clear the way before him is John the Baptist. That in verse 5, I just read to you that Jesus is coming in judgment. And he will be ready to witness against all of these things, the sorcerers and adulterers, against people who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker, who oppress the widow, the fatherless, and those who deny justice to the resident alien. He's saying that he's coming, and you cannot separate sin and judgment. But I'm really encouraged in Malachi 4, as he is talking about the messenger, he is telling us at the end of chapter 4, in verse 4, he says, "Remember the instruction of my Moses servant, the statutes and the ordinance I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel. Look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day that the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." So as you turn the page from there, he's talking about the messenger that will come. He's saying that he will send his servant. And this servant will come after this prophet who he calls Elijah. And listen, all four of the New Testaments, if you turn your page and you see the four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of the Gospels start with John the Baptist. Now, Matthew doesn't start in chapter 1. Matthew starts with the lineage of Jesus to get you where he is. But all the rest of the Gospels start with John the Baptist. So we could have started today in talking or reading about John the Baptist, but I chose Luke for a reason. And you should have your Bible, if you have it today, we'd love for you to turn to Luke chapter 3 with us. But I chose Luke for a reason. Luke has a very, very detailed account of Jesus' life. But not only does he have that, in the very beginning in chapter 1, Luke describes what he writes as an orderly account. He's saying, I am giving you an orderly account, but he also says that his orderly account is from eyewitnesses. So we can be certain that he actually interviewed Jesus' mother, that he interviewed John the Baptist's mother, right? He continues in chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1, he's talking about that Gabriel predicts John's birth. And he also talks about that Gabriel predicts Jesus' birth. He describes that Zechariah and Elizabeth could not bear children, but that Gabriel came to Zechariah and he says that you will have a son, and his name will be John. But when he leaves the temple that day, look, the angel shuts his mouth. The Lord shuts his mouth and doesn't allow him to speak. And y'all, he doesn't speak until John the Baptist actually is born. And when John the Baptist is born, that they're about on the eighth day, they're going to circumcise him and they're going to give him his name. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are planning on naming him Zechariah Jr., just like we would around here. But listen, he still hasn't spoken to this day, but he knew that the angel had told him that he was to name him John, and he said, give me a tablet, and he writes down on that tablet, his name is John. And when he does, his mouth is released. He's able to speak again, and he's able to tell them his name is John. He's able to tell them. And I just want to ask you, if the Lord closed your mouth, right? If the Lord told you something that you were supposed to do until the time of that action that you were supposed to take, and then he gave you the opportunity to be obedient, you would remember what you were supposed to do. Amen? Amen. So I believe that during the pregnancy that he may have veered away from God's plan, but God has a purpose, and whenever he took his speech away, he remembered. And then he remembered the calling on his life. As a matter of fact, Gabriel told Zechariah that he was going to be special, that he was the messenger, that he was the one that was the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the New Covenant, and that he was the one that was going to be the herald for Christ. I love that word. He says that your son, he even told him that your son won't drink wine or beer, that he would fast from those things, that your son would be holy, that your son would be all in. And that's what I want us to hear today, that John the Baptist was all in, but it was always God's plan, and John the Baptist walked in obedience. So if you would, in Luke chapter 3, I'm going to read to us just verses 2 through 9. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain will be made low. The crooked will become straight and the rough way smooth. And everyone will see the salvation of God. Now listen, that sounds very... The prophet Isaiah is talking about the voice of one crying out in the wilderness will prepare the way. He's talking about the herald of Christ. He's talking about the one that's preparing the way for Jesus to come, the Messiah. He's talking about John the Baptist, right? He is saying the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness will prepare the way for the Lord. He's saying that hundreds of years before, the prophet Isaiah is pointing out John the Baptist. But then in verse 5, he's saying that every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low and the crooked will become straight. What he's saying, y'all, I know it sounds very hard to understand, but he's describing the Jew and the Gentile. He's saying that when Jesus comes, it's not just for the Jew, but it's for everyone. That every single one of us, if you're blessed by that, say amen.
Amen.
That's for us, the Gentiles in this room. It's not just for the Jews. That when Jesus comes, that his message is for everyone. When Jesus comes, it's a game changer. That all the hills and valleys will be made level. That there won't be anyone higher and there won't be anyone lower. That all of us need forgiveness and a Savior, and his name is Jesus.
Come on.
Verse 7, he says, I'm sorry, verse 6 first. And everyone will see the salvation of God. Verse 7, then he said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children from Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Listen, that sounds very harsh. But what he's trying to do is give us an illustration that he's saying, you brood of vipers, they haven't seen a prophet for 400 years. They're all coming and they hear that this beastly man, right, John the Baptist is out there and he's preaching this gospel of salvation. He's saying that the Lord is coming. He's preparing the way. But he's out there. John the Baptist is the first prophet that they have heard in hundreds of years. They're flocking to him and they're actually asking him what they should do. I love that too. That's in verse 10, we don't have that on the screen, but if you look at verse 10, they say, what then should we do? I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but Peter preaches the first, when the church starts in Acts 2, he preaches the gospel of Jesus to them, and it says it pierces them to the heart. Do y'all recall that? And the first thing that the people ask is, wait a minute, we understand, what then should we do? And that's what these people, they're coming to John the Baptist. He's paving the way. He's pointing at Jesus. He's saying, Jesus is coming. And he's saying, you guys have got to produce fruit. Look, you can no longer save yourselves. The only way you can be saved is to put your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
He's telling them.
Come on.
The way. He's pointing the way. So I want to give us three walking points this morning before we get out of here. Three ways that we know that John the Baptist is all in. The first point is that he did not have a message about himself. We know that John the Baptist was all in because he didn't have a message about himself. And I'll tell you what, it would be easy for John the Baptist to be out here saying, hey, look at me. That I'm the one that Malachi was talking about. I'm the one that Isaiah was talking about. I'm the prophet. I'm the one. I am here. You should be happy to see me. He didn't say any of those things. He had a message, but it wasn't about himself. I want to ask you a question. Would you want to hang out with him? Would you want to hang out with John the Baptist? It talks about that he was clothed in camel hair and he ate locusts and honey. He probably wasn't very well kept. But I don't think that's the only reason why you wouldn't want to hang out with him. The reason that we probably wouldn't want to hang out with him is his message was very risky. You know, you think about people that gave it all, people that are all in. Those people can cost you everything. John the Baptist eventually was martyred for his faith. He was beheaded for his faith. And I just want to just tell you that when we look back at people that are all in, when we look back at people who made the most impact for our country or for the kingdom, you know, we like them. We have memorials. We might even emulate them in some ways. But when it comes to hanging out with them, sometimes we probably would be too far out of our comfort zone. But I want us to think about that this morning, that what does it mean to be all in? It might mean that we may be a little uncomfortable. Amen. The message is not about us, right? It's about Jesus. And that's what he was saying. The message is not about himself. You know, some of the most beautiful people that I've ever met in my life didn't care a whole lot about themselves. Now, I'm not telling you to quit bathing in here this morning. But I am telling you that the people, Parker and Jess was a great example. When I was writing this message, I was just overwhelmed thinking about them. And listen, since I've become a pastor, our house is probably a little more messy. You know, in Parker and Jesse's house, their house is lived in. There's toys everywhere. You know, the clothes aren't all picked up. The clothes may not even be folded on some days. But I'm here to tell you, those folks know that the message is not about themselves. Right? They're not so worried about the caring for themselves. They're worried about the work that they've been given. My daughter said, Daddy, I don't even know how they can do ministry when they don't even know how they're going to pay their bills next month. How are they going to do it? And I said, honey, they're not worried about themselves. They know they're there for a different reason. They're there because the message is not about them. Right? They didn't go there for that. So that's how they keep going. They're there because the message is not about them. The second point about John the Baptist being all in is that he put Jesus before himself. He put Jesus before himself. I want you to consider how he was able to do that. How was John the Baptist able to give it all? How was he all in? How was he able to pour it all out for Jesus? And I want to give all the parents in this room a message. If you're here and you have kids, don't ever underestimate the power that God has given you for your children. Don't tell me that Zachariah and Elizabeth, after he couldn't talk for 9 whole months, right? He remembered 9 months of not being able to speak, and he remembered the calling on his son's life. And don't tell me that he didn't tell his son, son, you've been called and you are important. You are the messenger. You are the one who has been called. And listen, I love Luke's account too, and the reason I use it this morning, it even talks about the months that Mary and Elizabeth spent together, Jesus' mom and John's mom. And while they were together, that they were both in the womb, and it says that Elizabeth, John leapt inside of her. Whenever Mary came with Jesus, the Messiah, in her womb, whenever they got into the same room, it says that John the Baptist was actually leaping inside, saying that the Messiah is here. He knew. Right? He had a calling on his life. But don't ever underestimate what you can do for your children. Right? Tell your children, you know, you can invest in them. And don't tell me that Zechariah didn't do that. He knew. His mouth had been shut. And he told John. He said, John, the message ain't about you. And you need to put the Messiah first. Put Jesus before yourself. I'm going to tell you another way that he was able to be all in and put Jesus first is because he knew the truth. He knew the Word of God. He knew that he had been called for a reason and he had been sent for a reason. He knew the truth. He knew the Word of God. And he knew that the Messiah was going to bring salvation. And he knew that that equaled victory. He knew the truth. You know, without John the Baptist, there is no gospel, right? It was all part of God's plan. They pointed to John, right? The messenger. I love John Piper. John Piper is a great theologian, a great preacher. And John Piper described him. John Piper is very, very emotional when he preaches. But he was saying that the new covenant, that Jesus is like a tree. And the new covenant is sprouting into this beautiful tree that is going to give all of us life. And he said, have you ever seen a big, beautiful tree that's hundreds of years old like that? And you look down and it has these roots that come off the bottom of the tree. And then the roots dive down into the ground. And then you look a few feet away and you see the root come back up and be exposed. And it goes back down again. And that big knot that's on the ground is John the Baptist. That it's saying, look at the tree. right? And that's what John the Baptist is. He's just a messenger. And it's big and it's beautiful in the covenant. Although he is central to the gospel, although he is in every single gospel account, he is not the Messiah. And listen, they gave him every chance. All the people that were flocking to John the Baptist as he was baptizing people, he's down there and he's preaching to them. He's saying, repent and believe and be baptized into salvation. And the people are coming towards him and they're doing that. But they're asking him, are you the prophet? And he declined. He said, they asked, are you the Messiah? And he declined. And he just steadily pointed at Jesus. And that leads to the last point. That he lived a life that showed something was about to happen. I want to ask you this morning, do you live your life all in? Do you live your life in a way that shows people around you something's about to happen? You might say, Pastor, I'm not here to preach. I'm not here. I can't play music. I can't do media. I'm not sure I'm qualified to serve in the nursery. But I'm here to tell you that it's not just about those things, which serving is very important. Serving is a way that we can show people that, I mean, even greeting out in the parking lot. The way that we give is a way that we can show people. When people see that you are sacrificing for the gospel, right? That shows people that something is about to happen. So the way that you give is a great example that you know that something's about to happen. We got to celebrate with people in baptism this morning. Can we get a round of applause for that? People are saying, I know something's about to happen, and I'm here to tell you that I got Jesus in my heart. Right? That they're celebrating in believers' baptism, and good for y'all. But I want to ask you this morning, does your life testify? The things that are going on in your life every week, does your life testify that something is about to happen? John, in the last days of his life, sent a messenger to Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 11. John is in jail. And he's writing a letter and he's sending a message to Jesus and he's saying, you know, I know that you're the Messiah, but I'm confused. Is there another Messiah coming? Because the one that I thought was coming was going to the entire world would be at your disposal. He was confused by Jesus' actions and his ministry. He says, I know that you're the Lamb of God. I mean, John is the one, when he saw him on the side of the bank of the Jordan River, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who is here to take away the sins of the world. He's the one that announced who Jesus was. But as he is in jail, he's writing him and he's saying, I know you're the Lamb of God, but I'm confused. Because he knew that what he expected and the whole world expected was this kingdom, this king. And that all nations would come under him. In Genesis 49:10, it says the obedience of all nations would belong to him. In Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, of whose increase of his government and his peace there will be no end. Well, here's the thing. John the Baptist was confused because he thought that he would come and he would rule as king. But Jesus answers him. Jesus answers John the Baptist as he's sitting there in jail. And he assured him that he was not only the Messiah, but this time he tells him, I've come with a message of mercy. He tells him, he reassures him that the blind have been able to see, that the dead have been raised, the deaf can hear, that those that were poor have become rich, and that salvation had come to the world. But he also tells him that this time he's come with a message of mercy, but he says, John, the next time I come, it'll be with a message of judgment.
Amen. Come on.
And I'm here to tell you that John's message was right. John's message was right. He is the Lamb of God. He did pay the price for our sins on the cross. And Jesus exalted John. He says that no man that's ever been born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. And even though that John died 2,000 years ago, his message still rings true today. Repent of your sins and be baptized into faith. He was all in for Jesus. He was all in for his faith. And you know what? He paid the price. But sometimes, I was talking to Miss Sherry this morning, and she said, you know, as I get older, I just want to see which ones of the prophecies have been fulfilled and which ones have not. And sometimes I believe that we are living life and we forget that he's coming again. That Jesus has come, he's paid the price, that we can live today in freedom. But also that there's a dying and lost world that will spend eternity. And in Malachi 4, in verse 1, it says, "For look, the day is coming," talking about prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. "For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all of the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches, but for you who fear my name, the Son of the righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out playfully, jumping like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under your soles of your feet. In the day I'm preparing, on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies."
Come on.
Thank you, T. John the Baptist was all in. He didn't have a message about himself. He put Jesus before himself. And he lived a life that showed that something was about to happen. But when we know that these things right here are true, when we know that the day of judgment is coming, are we living all in? That's the invitation today. I want to ask you today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, then today can be the day that you come forth and we can pray and celebrate with you today that you can spend eternity, that you can be one of the calves that are jumping when the day of judgment comes, that the sun will shine on you. Can I get a witness?
Come on.
Amen. So this morning as we play, as the invitation song is being played, I want to give you the invitation today to come down and receive Jesus. But I also want you to understand that we must be living our lives like something's about to happen. That it's not about us, that it's about Him.